we are in Genesis 4 and 5, and then when we get through and start into Genesis 6, it's just different. We start with the flood, we start with, you know, with Noah and everything like that, and we'll start that in January. Let's read. And man was created full grown, we need to remember that, but not complete in his development and his relationship with God. By setting before man choices to be obedient or disobedient, he was giving man an opportunity to develop a fuller relationship with him. I think this is important that we put this in context. You know, we don't realize that when he was created full grown, he was an infant. And so it takes time for us to grow in faith and knowledge also. It's taken me an extremely long time. So just as today, when we come to faith and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are only starting on our road of deeper faith and more understanding as to whom we are and who God is. And as we experience God working in our lives and we come to know him better through his word, as we grow deeper in faith and love, our relationship deepens and grows. By our choices, we experience good from God or evil from Satan. And so that is where we are. That is the two trees. You either are accepting God and moving toward him for him to make your decisions, or you are going to be smart and follow Satan and make your own decisions. And we'll see how that came out when we start back in January. So Adam and Eve were chosen to be subject, obedient or not, when they chose to eat of the tree of good and evil that God had placed in the garden. The consequences of their choice resulted in God removing his spirit or his presence with man. It will not be given back to us except in special times as we go through, you know, where he appears to Abram and then he appears to different ones. But God does not have a continuous relationship until after Pentecost where the Holy Spirit is given to all people, and especially those who believe. And so it says here, the consequences of their choices resulted in God removing his spirit or presence from man. And we begin to live by head knowledge and not by God's directions, and sin reigns. And so we will see then about Adam and Eve's family and how the choices that their family made and how this is gone from the parents to the children. And so we can see how true it is, our decisions make such an influence on everybody, our children, our family, our community, and everything else. And that's why God wanted Adam and Eve to realize they had to stay close to him until they deepened in their understanding of him. And I think that answers a lot of questions for me as to why we are where we are in our account of creations. So we have, to begin with, we start with Genesis 4 and 1 through 5. So it says, Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And so we have here two different sons and two different decisions they make. At least when you go back, and let's go back now and read Hebrews 11 and 4. You know, Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith in the whole Bible. And, you know, it says by faith, all the people of all the earth have been blessed. And so we have Hebrews. That's why Hebrews is such an important book, because it ties all of our faith together. Chapter 12, and it's 11 and 4. And, you know, to begin with here, it says, therefore, since we have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so entangles us. I'm reading for the American Standard. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is our vain thought here. Fixing on our eyes Jesus, He is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For he considered who had endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that he may not grow weary and lose heart. So we see Jesus as our example. And then it says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten that the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And so it talks about here, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faith when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges all every son whom he receives. And so then we go on here to 11 and 4. And it starts out, now faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by man all have gained approval. And it's all, we are gaining always our approval by our faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that it was seen not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts through faith, and though he is dead, he still speaks. So one of the answers that we had here when you were looking at it, it says, give two reasons why you think God accepted Abel's sacrifice but did not accept Cain's, and do some of these reasons apply to us as God's accepted to us today. So what were the two reasons that God accepted Abel's and not Cain's? Yeah, it was by faith. Yes, okay. We do not have any instructions on how to do a sacrifice. We have no law given at this time, but they have been associated with God. And when was the first sacrifice offered?
In the garden.
In the garden? Why?
They had to kill
on his sins. Yeah. It was when they sinned and God came walking in the garden and came in and he said, why are you hiding? And they said, we were naked. And he said, how did you know you were naked? And so this is the first shedding of blood. And so we know that if he had to kill one of his animals and to take their hides and dress these two, that the carcass that he took from them was probably offered up as a sacrifice to the Father. These are things that you have to look for that you don't see the commandments in. So this is probably something that Adam and Eve continued to offer up sacrifices, or these two boys would not know to make a sacrifice to God. And so when you have this here, why do you see Hebrews 12, 14, and 15? What did that say?
Well, this is NIV version. Mm-hmm. And it says, warning and encouragement. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Okay, what's happening here is two brothers and there's a bitter root. Mm-hmm. And why is this bitter root falling here? Well, it's because of jealousy. And also, when you go back and you read how their sacrifices was, Abel, he brings the fat portions and some of the firstborn of the flock. Always God's going to demand later, when he does have a law set up, that they use the first fruits. Even the first son of each family. It's always believed that the first one gets the most strength and most likely to succeed in reproducing, and also is the best of the flock, because then you keep going older and the people having babies and different, and it gets weaker and weaker. So he always wants, God always wants our first. And so you can see here that Abel understands this. It's what he is doing is for God. He's getting the first of the flock. And also when they do have the law set up, all of the fat, all of the internal organs will always be offered up in all of the blood to sacrifice for the sins to be removed. And then the rest of it, they would be able to take some of it home and it feeds some of Israel, of the priest and things. So even though the law has not been given here, evidently the example has been set. And so that was what was done. And then it says here that Abel brought that, but it said Cain and his offering. It said, then the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but Cain on his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was mad. And then God said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be acceptable? If you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. You must master it. And so do you see that even God, who is not personally with them every day, is still merciful, and he is still watching over them. And so he gives Cain an opportunity to repent and also to offer another sacrifice which would be acceptable. In other words, it just looked like that Cain just went and got something and brought it up and thought, well, this will work. He did not have, even when the law is given, they have the first fruits every year has to be offered at the temple or offered as a sacrifice. I think I'd have a real hard time being a Jew, because that first tomato and it's ripened, that's mine. But God says, no, no, no. That first tomato, when it's ripened, is mine. So it offers us an opportunity to give the best and the most longed for as an opportunity to an offering to him. Yes?
My Bible says Cain brought some fruit. Mm-hmm. To me, that means that he was not being obedient. He was just going, okay, here you go, whatever. Mm-hmm. And God wants our obedience at all times. Mm-hmm. Whatever does not work for him. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he wants the best. Of us.
Yeah, he don't want our whatever son.
No.
And so you can see the difference here. And even when God is merciful and tells him that he can be forgiven and he will be able to be acceptable to him, the only thing it does, it makes him madder. He's thinking of nobody but himself. He is thinking as a man. He is not thinking godly thoughts. This goes back to the choices. And from this next chapter, maybe once or twice more, Cain's lineage will be lost to us, because Abel's lineage we will pick up that God blesses another member of the family, which goes through Seth. And it says at that time, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is the lineage that we will follow. And so you see here one more time how the sin of the people and how it goes forward. And so you have to realize that you can not only lose your faith and everything else, you can condemn. And there's another scripture that says that the sins of the father can last seven generations, but also the holiness of the father can save seven generations. So one more time, it's stressing that how important it is that we do what is right with God, because it will go on past us just in the way that we live. So then, let's go back and read Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Can you do that, Norma?
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
Okay, so what are we to do? A sacrifice of praise. Is there a sacrifice for us to praise God?
Yes.
Yeah. We have to set aside. We have to think about him. We have to offer those praises. We have to have a commitment, number one, to observe who God is and to share with others how God has blessed us. This is some of the things that Teresa will be addressing when we have our class with her, that we are the witnesses of Jesus now, that we have been given him and the Holy Spirit, and of course that's God also. So this makes it very understandable here. We don't have to worry about what kind of a sacrifice, we don't have to worry about what kind of an animal, we don't have to worry about anything that the Jewish people had to worry about. We have to be overflowing with praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then, is there anything else that you want to ask here?
Sure, one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to church today, I listened to a Christian radio station, and I like what the man was saying. He said, in spite of your storms, your attitude remains with God, and he may not change your storm, but he will be with you, and you cling to him in spite of the circumstances. And I like that reminder. It reminds me all the time, no matter what, you are to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the circumstances. He may not change them right there and then,
mm-hmm.
but if you cling to him and he is with you, what else do you need? Mm-hmm. Praise him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do. Praise him.
You will not understand everything you have to go through.
Nope.
But you have to really remember that you're not alone. And there's sometimes you feel like that you are alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may not have a human being that agrees with you or protects you or goes with you. But you are never, ever alone. And that he is always with us through the storms. And he said, there's another scripture that says, pray continually in all circumstances. And so that is continuing to praise him. And when things are so bad that you see no good in it, God's with you. We cannot understand everything that happens to us and for us or to our families or anything else. But remember, everything we see is temporary. But God's eternal.
I've got a whole album now. So Canaan. Don't you think it's a heart thing, too, with Cain and Abel?
Oh, yeah.
Abel's heart was right with God. He wanted to please God. But Cain, for whatever reason, did not have that in his heart. He wanted to bring second best to God. Yeah.
That's the key to everything. If your heart's not right with God, you're not right. And so that's where we go to him and pray to him that he will recreate within us. You know, there is, I think it's Romans 12, and it says that we are to be Romans 12 and 1. It's when our hearts are redone by God that it is where we are. So we go back and it says here, contrast Cain's attitude and Abel's. You know, you can just see this grown man here. He's running around with his lip hung out. He is not being treated fairly by God. It's all about him. How many people do you have you know that's all about me?
Me.
Everybody has just been ugly to me. And I think it's so neat the way God says, why are you angry?
He knows.
Why is your face downcast? And if you knew what was right, and it would be acceptable. It wasn't that he was stupid, or it wasn't that he didn't know better. It was just that he didn't care. Yes?
One thing that God had told Adam was that it's going to be hard for him because he's going to have to toil on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And probably he was just, he was tired, and it wasn't that he was grateful for food to eat and stuff like that. He was just, man, this is hard work, and probably not grateful.
That's a good idea, Linda, because they're just now having to toil hard.
Yeah.
That was part of their, what they happened to them when Adam and Eve, and they've never known anything but this.
No.
It's not that work is hard. It is that work became hard from their sins. And so this is one of the results of the disobedience of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And that's one thing with us. You just get tired. And it seems to me I can get rested from physical labor. But when you get tired in your mind and when you've worked and worked and worked on something that is all in your mind, I think that's what's hard for us as people now. And it's no interaction with, even the people that are working are all shut up at the house. And so we get tired and we get weary, and so then we're mad at everybody in the house. And you can tell that, and it's all about me again. But it also, we realize that God will give us rest. It says you are to rest in Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and believe in me and I will give you rest. Only place you really get real rest is going to be in your praise and being with Jesus. Because that directs you back to the source of where you get all of your strength, and that's through the Holy Spirit. So let's go on down here. And so then God in his mercy offers him an out. And now Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. This is the first time they see death. I don't know whether Cain is still, his attitude doesn't change. It's still all about me. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And I bet you every one of you would know this next verse. And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. And then Cain said, I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? You are your brother's keeper. You know, when rifts come in families, it's painful because it is against how we were created. We were created to be a family, to love each other, take care of each other. And when any one of us is isolated and we do not feel a part of the family and we do not feel and be protected in a family, it's hard because it's against how we were created to be. We are a community. That's what we were community, what we created for. Just go ahead.
I was thinking that Cain, and seeing since y'all taught me, that his heart was in the right place and that he was happy to produce something good, but he only provided some. It wasn't the best, and it wasn't really the right thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, we'll visit.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is something that needs to be thinking about. So many people feel like, well, I've got to give, you know, or somebody's going to think badly about me. You know, even in our giving, as we give in our offerings and things to the church, you know, if I don't give a tenth, then God's going to be mad at me. It's still a heart matter, as Sally says. I know that when Gene got to where he couldn't work and I went back to work full time, kind of to take care of us at one, I think I was in my 50s, and I had a part-time job, and I made my mind up then that a 10% of anything I made anywhere, it was God's, it was not mine to begin with. And then I'd get another job that paid me more, but that also gave me more to offer to give to the Lord. And I think if you ever start doing this with this thought right in front of you, you begin to see that he says you can't outgive God, because any time, but there's a lot of people that have given and it never came back to them. But, well, we're judging wrong. There's just sometimes you do not see the results of what you're doing. And as long as you're doing it for God and whatever he's doing with it, it is blessing somebody, and you may not see that until we are in eternity. To me, I look at it this way, and all of this is talking about giving Jesus glory now as Christians, and also we are sacrificing and loving others. It never, ever, ever needs to be, what is it going to do for me? I'll give this, and once it's given, it's gone. And God can do with it whatever he wants to. I may not see that it may have done more harm than good, because I may have given to something I shouldn't have been given to. But you don't question. Once it's out of your hands and it's in God's hands, forget it. And that way, every once in a while, somebody will say, did I hurt your feelings? No, you didn't hurt my feelings. My feelings are not easily hurt. Anyway, anytime you don't realize how much of the time that it turns back, what about me? And the heart for God is completely given to him. And you don't waste any of that strength saying, well, what about me? And going around with our face cast down and pouting. And so the main thing here is, like Sally says, it has to be our heart. It has to be freely given. It has to be prayed about. That's the hard thing with a Christian. It's not, what can I do of good? Which good can I do the most? Because we have an opportunity all the time. And you know, you want to just help this and help that and do this and do that. You're not God. You can't do everything. Your funds are limited. You pray and you make your decision. And then once you turn it loose, it's God's and let him take care of it. And you don't worry about that anymore. But it's part of praise and part of presenting your body and yourself holy unto God. So then here we have, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from his hands. I think it's always interesting how the Bible talks about the earth. It's holy. We are made from the earth. And anybody that was a criminal, this is one of the reasons that Jesus hung on the cross was such a horrendous thing. Normally, if you were crucified or hung on the cross, you could not be buried in God's good earth. They would just throw your carcass into the pit that burned trash 24 hours a day outside of Jerusalem. So if the two rich men had not come and gotten Jesus' body and put it in a tomb that had not ever been used, that's where he would have landed up. And so it's good. If you've ever been blessed to live where there's good earth, it's awesome. It smells good. After a rain, I run behind the tractor when Daddy would be plowing, and like 4 feet of topsoil. And when it would have to rain and you'd fall down into the furrows and smell the earth, it is good. It has every nurturing vitamin, mineral, anything that we will ever need that comes up through leaves that we eat, or the cows and all of those eat, and that will be our nourishment. So the earth is so important. And so it says when you work the ground, it is no longer going to yield its crops, and you will be a wanderer on the earth. Must have sent him to Central Texas. There's no earth here to work. Anyway, let's see where it did go. Yes.
This was just an observant. Mm-hmm. God asked Cain, what have you done? Mm-hmm. That's the exact words he asked Eve. Mm-hmm. What have you done?
Mm-hmm. And what does that tell us? We are working on our mind and not God's. He didn't say, what have you done that I asked you to do? He said, what have you done?
Yes.
I have been guilty, and when my mother asked me what I had done, I wish I was under a toadstool. Because you're just guilty to the bone, and you're not. Then you pout. What? And then you cry.
He didn't say, did you eat from the tree? Yeah, that gives them a chance to lie. Mm-hmm. And say, no. Did you get into my makeup? No. And that little kid is standing there with his lips
smeared all over their face.
So it wasn't a yes or no question. It was, what have you done?
What have you done? Good statement there. And 9 times out of 10, when we know that we've gone against what we know God would have preferred, we feel that way. Uh-oh. But thank God he can forgive our stupidity when we fail him. And this is what is showing here. He still had that mercy to give to Cain, but Cain refused, and how many times do we refuse his mercy? Cain said, oh, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence, and I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Who is that all about? Cain. Yeah, it's not. I'm so sorry, Father.
No, I have the same thought. There's no, I'm sorry that I killed someone. I think it's no remorse. Back to Sharon's question, shows where his heart is at. Mm-hmm. And I think later in the study, you go to 1 John 3:10 through 16. It says that Cain's heart was evil.
Yeah. Out of the heart is what we do. That's also in Proverbs. So that's why we pray constantly, Father, for us to be forgiven in our heart to become righteous, and that we accept the cleansing of prayer. And we have in so much grace and mercy that we have can see by the power of the Holy Spirit that they had known of this because they were, like I said, full grown and still infants, and they didn't know what they were doing. But it shows the human relationship that you can either be acceptable to God or not. But the Lord says to him, not so. And now mercies, one more time. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance 7 times over. How many times have you had people say, what was the mark that they put on Cain? And they worry all about what kind of mark it was. We don't know. How important is that? Why are we not asking, how did his heart become so hardened, living like he has lived and being cared for he was, that he came to this evilness? We get so caught up in trivia that don't mean beans. And so we have to realize, God, teach me to be like you. Teach me your ways. Because we do not have it. It has come from him. But here is the mercy from God. Anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance 7 times over. And then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod and east of Eden. There are so many books. The title is East of Eden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you ever wondered where it came from?
The Bible.
Right here. East of Eden, in this expression right here, is away from God.
Yes.
Most of the people that you know are living east of Eden because they choose to live there. Or they will not admit that they're not right, completely right. I am right. I'm a good person. Blah, blah, blah. You are not in harmony with God. You are living east of Eden, out of the presence of God. That says out of the presence of God. God does not enter any mother's head. They may use it as a sling word or a cuss or sometimes, but not so. And so then we continue to go on here and the results of Cain's life. And so the Lord said, not so if anyone kills Cain. We go past that in 17. And Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And Cain was then building a city. He's quit farming. He named it after his son Enoch, and to Enoch was born Irad. And Irad was the father of Mahuliah, and Mahuliah was the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah was the father of Lamech. And Lamech married two women. Now, this is a branch away from God's law. It said, what did he do differently? So he decides one woman's not enough, let's just get her in another. And one of them was named Zillah, and Adam gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who live in tents and raised livestock. One of the questions, what are they doing now? They have left farming. They've gone back into ranching. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father who played the harp. Music is one of the things that's being invented here, and the flute. And Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and irons, and the Tubal-Cain's sisters was Naaman. Lamech said to his wives, Adab and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for ruining me, a young man for injuring me. And if Cain is of age 7 times, and Lamech 77 times. And then this right here is giving us hope. But you see that the sins of the father is going multiplying in the next generation. We've still got murder. We've got 2 marriages. We've got people that have completely left the land, which is in itself not bad, but it's just showing that the disruption of their life. And Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel. And since Cain was killed him, Seth also had a son. They named him Enosh. And at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so there's where we start from Adam into Noah. Okay.
My question is whenever I read the Bible, I always get stuck between some of these where they pray in the middle section there. Mm-hmm. And it's like he married a woman. Where did these people come from?
He had to be a cousin, sister, somebody. That's all the people there. Mm-hmm. They do not put that into forbidding you marrying in your family and still the law. Because of real close relationships, it weakens the tribe. In other words, it's real interesting. Jude and Teresa married this man, and they were married 30 years. The first time they went to a reunion, there was a man there, an uncle of Jerry's, that kept up all the lineage. And they said, what was your maiden name? And she said, Billingsley. He said, I think you're related to us. Yeah. 6 generations back, they had the same grandfather. So the Billingsleys and Jerry's people had intermarried 6 generations back.
If you go back far enough, we're all related.
Yeah, but they only talk about the three sons. Are you talking that they maybe had more children?
Oh, yeah. You go back in the genealogy and it says they have...
Children would have had to marry each other mm-hmm. and have children.
Well, you know, and it was real common even up maybe until 200 years ago where you went to the family reunion to find a bride. You know, cousins marrying each other. That was just, you know. But we've had all this, we've had so much information there. I know that even like my youngest granddaughter is Erica, and her husband is deaf and also has eye disease. And everybody said, well, what if you have children that are deaf? She said, I don't know of anybody better able to raise them than me. But the reason he and all of his two brothers have that is because both mother and father had the same gene. And so when you get down to the law given to Israel, everything is physical there. You are not to marry your sister. You are not to intermarry with anybody. We are trying to do one thing, and that is to raise a nation of purity of stock so we can keep up and reproduce until the Messiah comes. But we don't know how many, you know. And it's go back and read that, and some of them live 900 years. And good Lord, if they have kids every year. Well, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. They went out. So they were fruitful and multiply. Okay, I think I'm running over time again.
You, Father God, and we all need you so much. This world needs just your light, Father God. Allow us to go out there and be your light. For everyone to see you, for everybody to know your name, and kneel at the mention of Jesus' name, Father God. We need you so much in our lives. Be with every single lady that is going to go back home. Allow travel safeties for those traveling. And just your provision, Father God, in all of our needs. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us daily. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.